soccer matters.
Quick shot, score! The US with Dempsey! Turn it
up! Fabregas, who looks for Iniesta, who's onside! Spain score!
Entonces el centro, remate de gol!
Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, let's get after it tonight. Thank you for joining me on a Thursday night, by the way, to get you set up for an amazing weekend of football from the finish of the Premier League on Sunday. By the way, that's 10:30 a.m. All the games simultaneous. Get those English breakfasts in. Get ready for that one. We're definitely checking out what's happening at the bottom end of the table. Liga MX title match between Tigres and Chivas. That starts tonight, right after this show at 9 Central. Now, that's must-watch TV because Mexican League playoffs get crazy. We stream at ESPN975.com. Get the podcast of this show. Subscribe. Spotify, Apple, Google, or go to ESPN975.com. Incidentally, again, Chivas and Tigres tonight, right after this show at 9 p.m. We're going to preview that tonight. As one of the biggest teams in Liga MX over the two legs are going to be crowned champions. Not sure that everybody thought that Chivas would be playing Tigres in this final, but they have arrived. Tigres, a year of inconsistency, three different managers, starting off with Diego Coca, who took the Mexico job. And then you got Chivas. By the way, MLS fans, if you remember Veljko Panovic, he was a coach of the Chicago Fire. Well, guess what? He's led Chivas to the title and potentially to the promised land of equaling the 13 titles that Club America has over Chivas all time. All right, hit me up on Twitter and Instagram at Glenn Davis Sock, at Soccer Matters GD. We got tickets to give away as well tonight. The show is always presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. 713-CALL-NOW. They are bilingual. Get the best with the Daspit Law Firm during the times you need representation. You might get in a car, boat, motorcycle, accident, plant, refinery. DaspitLaw.com, 713-CALL-NOW. Brian McDonald in tonight for Andrew Carlson. Brian, thank you very much for stepping in as always.
Yeah, no problem. Appreciate it.
We're going to be back in action this weekend too, by the way. Don't go anywhere because you're going to be producing the Dynamo and Austin game from Shell Energy Stadium right here on ESPN 97.5. So don't go anywhere. We need Brian McDonald. And by the way, a big thank you to Andrew Carlson, as always, for doing some behind the scenes, getting us ready for tonight, and also Guillermo Lazo Romero. So we got Victor Ariza, the striker. He does a lot of coverage of Liga MX. We're going to do a segment previewing tonight's game with Chivas and Tigres. Dynamo striker Thor Olfarsson will join us here tonight about the competition for playing time, the lack of goals the club are scoring, how that could potentially change, what it's like for him year two in Major League Soccer after getting drafted last year. Dynamo still trying to figure out the goal-scoring department. Yet, in the Open Cup, they banged in four this past Wednesday night. You know what? Let's get used to a little bit more Dynamo goal scoring. Let's go to soundbite number one here. The Dynamo go up 1-0. Corey Baird from the penalty spot.
Here's the attempt of Corey Baird. He goes down the middle. A cool take. And Baird is giving Houston the lead.
All right. So he went on to get a hat trick. The Dynamo also got a goal from Ibrahim Aliyu, the new Nigerian. He's an under-22 initiative player. He's shown some really good flashes, both out wide and up front. I don't know how he can't be on the field against Austin FC. Here's his first ever goal for the Dynamo. It comes in the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup.
Baird can get forward. And into space here is Ibrahim Aliyu. His first Houston Dynamo goal.
All right, so, you know, in typical fashion, we get a lot of people, oh, we've opened Pandora's box. We figured it out now. We're scoring goals. Come on, guys. Let's listen to your head coach. Even he tempered this. Yes, it's good for people to see a ball hit in the back of the net. Yes, it's good knocking off Minnesota United. Yes, Minnesota United quit. And yes, the Dynamo went to the final eight of the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. You still have to beat who's in front of you. But it's amazing where people go and how far they take things. Corey Barrett's still looking for his first in MLS. I hope he gets it this weekend if he gets a start. I don't know who's going to get the start for the Houston Dynamo and what the best trio up front is. But we can talk about that tonight. And a lot of people did weigh in. I posed the question on the internet. By the way, we've got our burning topics out also by Cactus Music right now. But we did, you know, we did pose that question. And people came up with a lot of very differing ideas. Chamo 11 even had Hector Herrera on the bench, which I don't quite get that one. People had differing combinations of what the best fit up front is. So I don't know what you think it is. I've heard some of your responses. Baird, Thor, Aliyu, who do you go with? If you're going off your last Major League Soccer game, the only guy to score a goal was Thor Farson off a free kick from Hector Herrera against FC Dallas, the 1-1 draw, right? If you're going off Wednesday night, so these are the things coaches have to come up with. Thor is your last goal scorer in MLS, and Thor Farson, again, will join us on the show tonight. We're also going to do a good breakdown with Eric Goodman of the Austin Chronicle. That is, he writes the Verde report for them. And we're going to talk about the differing styles of Austin FC and the Dynamo. Dynamo may be a little bit more of a narrow game. Austin FC coming off, I tell you, that was a bad loss for them last night. They did not look good. And they put out a pretty strong lineup in that game. So they're going to have to probably freshen their lineup up with the likes of Maxi Arruti, who did not play last night. Diego Fagundes are trying to round him into form. Ethan Finley, Nick Lima, I expect these guys to get starts in most cases here because they put out what looked to be their strongest 11. Sebastian Driussi is not available for Austin FC. So that's a big game this weekend because the Dynamo are one place behind Austin FC in the playoff picture right now. All right, today Manchester United 4-1. They absolutely destroy Chelsea. They get an opening goal here from this year's signing Casemiro.
The pace on it. Perfect start for Manchester United. Casemiro, a man who's developing a happy knack of scoring crucial goals.
Anthony Martial would make it 2 for United.
Bruno Fernandes, who feigned to shoot. And so knocks it away from him.
Oh, he comes through for Sancho. 2-0. Anthony Martial there to tap it in.
By the way, there's a good chance he might not even be there next year. I mean, United's going to sell a number of players. So this is very good news for Manchester United. The goal this year was to get into the Champions League. They do. They secure the fourth spot. Newcastle also secured one of the Champions League spots. And, of course, it is Man City and Arsenal who have the top two. So they got Champions League money. That really was the big key. They were also in an FA Cup final, which also could be a wonderful achievement if they knock off Manchester City, who's going for the treble. Here's Erik ten Hag on if he can call this season a success.
Yes, I think so. It's a successful season, but the season is not finished.
More than you could have hoped for?
I have always high expectations of myself. And so I think this club belongs in the Champions League. So you have to qualify under the first four, but this league is very strong. And there are many teams, many clubs who are competing for the position, and they all can do it. And because they have high budgets, good squads, and see Chelsea, and they have massive good squad with outstanding players. And so we are happy. We are under the first four. I think we played a good season in the Premier League. I would say a very good season.
Well, you got to give him a lot of credit. And yes, it tapered off results-wise and things. It got a little bit nerve-wracking here at the end. Look, if United had not gotten a result today, they'd go into the final game against Fulham with Liverpool having a shot at getting in. Liverpool now will play in the Europa League. They're in a rebuild. Manchester United's in a rebuild as well. Here's Erik ten Hag. If getting in the top four in the Premier League, do you equate that with winning a trophy? Because we all know how difficult it is to get into the top four and get the big money.
I think in the Premier League, yeah. it's something like that. That is, I think, it's the main objective of the season, to get in the Champions League. And so, but therefore, you have to see yourself under the top four. And as I just tried to respond, the competition is tough. It's many teams with really good squads, good managers. So when you are in there, you're doing a good job. And your team is playing well and performing well. And I think this is, for this moment, the maximum, but we want more.
I love the honesty of this coach, Erik ten Hag. And look, he did what nobody else could do before him. He did what others couldn't do. Solskjaer couldn't do it. Moyes couldn't do it. Mourinho couldn't do it. He's done what nobody else has done before him. And that is, he had to make some very tough decisions at the beginning of this year. Remember, he had the albatross that was Cristiano Ronaldo. And I still believe to this day, Man City showed interest in him, but it was false interest to push Manchester United to sign Cristiano Ronaldo, because they knew he would be very disruptive there. They knew he would try to be the brand over Manchester United. And it ended up being a nightmare, and Ronaldo left there, sadly, in a really poor way, because Manchester United did a lot for Cristiano Ronaldo as well. I don't think there's any question. But I love the honesty of Erik ten Hag. So he had to make the move of, you know, benching Harry Maguire. He's never been a starter since. And he's also he also made the move of finally saying, hey, enough of Ronaldo. We have to get this cancer out of here. And that's what he did. So here he is now talking about the base that has been set. Now, I'm reading a lot of places, Manchester Evening News, that there's the potential of 8 to 9 players being shipped out, which by, you know, standards of what we have seen in the history of the Premier League and player movement, that is a possibility. But there are 8 or 9 guys that could potentially be moved. And who makes the cut, who doesn't, I don't know. But here's ETH on, is a good base been set here? I'm going to say yes, but let's see what he says.
All over, I think the team made good progress. There were many players who played a really fantastic season. And it's a good base to build on. But the standards has to go up, and the demands has to rise. I think in this league, that's a good base to be in the top four. But we want to compete for the title, but it has to be realistic. And you can first say, when you have your squad in the end of the transfer window and also in the winter transfer window, what you can do. The squad is there, then you can make a statement about if it's realistic or not. And now we are far away, so we have a lot of work to do. We make progress with this team and this squad, but we need better players if we want to compete for that, for the highest.
There you go, right there. You need better players. That's what he's saying about Manchester United, who's got a pretty big payroll. By the way, he used the word realistic. And of course, most fans are living in an alternate universe. Let's face that. And there is a difference between a spectator and a fan. We heard that on the last show from Marcelo Bielsa. 713-780-3776. Today came with a price, though. Anthony got injured in this game. He was carried off in the 29th minute. Now it's 9 days to the FA Cup final. But Ten Hag did say it's a serious injury. Nobody went into what it is. They're probably trying to figure it out. They probably know what area of the body it is. But Anthony's injury today carried off in the 29th minute. He looked in a lot of distress. What I was mentioning with Marcelo Bielsa, last show, he talked about the difference between fans and spectators. And he talked about the fact that, you know, if you only watch the highlights, and I guess this could apply to probably any sport, if you're only watching a 2-3 minute clip of a game, you are not seeing the whole story of the game. But that there are a lot of people that's how they live now. We know that, right, with social media. And 2 or 3 minutes, he says, well, how can you not like it? Because it's, you know, it's the goals, it's the creative plays, it's the controversial plays, it's everything everybody wants to see condensed. And he said, that type of person who only does that and doesn't watch the games in full, they are spectators. Fans are different. It's something else. And he went on to say that football survives because of the fan. For football to continue in force, we have to avoid destroying it. And I believe that coaches, directors, and journalists, we do everything as possible right now to make football worse every day. I mean, he's basically calling out coaches, directors, journalists, and he feels like they are destroying the game. Now, it's a different time period, and he's crossing the threshold of kind of the old school with the modern game. But remember, that goes a little bit slower in South America. You still got people sitting on concrete to watch games, 50, 60, 70,000 people. They're not going to the game for the sushi. They're not going to the game for the internet. It's completely different down there, and it's almost like going back in time. But there is something romantic about that. I like that. I like that. I also like some of the modernization of it. And listen, I'm not banging on people that only watch the highlights, but there are a really distinct difference between being a spectator and being a fan. You know, a spectator might say, you know, I'll even make a Major League Baseball reference. Astros lose. Their pitching has been great. Their hitting's not great, right? Everybody who's looking out is concerned about the hitting from what I read. I'm not trying to be a baseball guy here. And, you know, okay, don't worry, Maestros, I love Maestros, even though you're not hitting and losing. Well, maybe a real fan is saying, hey, we got to look out a little bit. We got to look into the future. There's some things that got to be corrected here. We're not going to be anointed the World Series champions again. So there are things, you know, that maybe those that watch the game a little bit deeper and not just pick out and cherry pick the highlights are looking at. You know, I got a friend who just, by the way, I have a friend that reinvigorated my interest in watching baseball, talking about the pitching zone, what the modern game entails, and he got me more interested in it now that I'm flipping on Astros games. And I was during the great runs, but I was bandwagoning then. Now I'm trying to educate myself a little bit more because I hadn't watched since the Miracle Mets, which I'm not going to tell you what year that was, but that was a long time ago.
That was in the 60s, Clint.
Yes, it was, sir. Thank you for saying that, Brian. I appreciate you.
Nolan Ryan was a young man at the time.
I will say I was alive. They had a great pitching staff. Tom Seaver, Gary Gentry, right? I could name that whole team now because I was a little kid, and my brother had me memorize the whole team. And then the Cosmos came, and I dropped everything else. But, yeah, that was 69 was an amazing year. And if there's anybody out there, there was a great documentary called
Facing Nolan.
That's a great one. There's another one called When the Garden Was Eden, about 69 in New York.
That was an ESPN 30 for 30, right?
Correct. There was a lot going on in New York, Brian, as you know, you know, both, you know, just basically with things going on in the city, crime, all kinds of crazy stuff. And that year, the Knicks won the title. The Mets won the title. The Knicks were the last one to win it. And I think the Jets won with Joe Namath, the big upset of the Baltimore Colts. And the Knicks felt pressure. But that is an amazing documentary because it's more than just a sports deal. It is about the dynamics of the New York Knicks under Red Holtzman. But it's a lot more. And, Tom Seaver, the complete game. That guy pitched complete games. That's not going to happen much anymore. All right, we're going to take a break. I got two good things coming back here. One is we got our World Cup 2026 history update because we're hosting the World Cup in 2026 and not too many people are talking about it. We're going to continue to talk about it every night on this show when we come on. We did get the new logo, which came down. That's pretty cool. I know there were people not happy with the logo, but that came from FIFA, so don't blame anybody in Houston. And then we put Houston underneath it, but it's exciting. 2026 World Cup is going to be here. So we'll come back with that. I also got a great story. The best way to market the Houston Dynamo. I'm going to give you an example of it when we return. Speaking of the Dynamo, they play Austin FC this weekend. You can hear it right here on ESPN 97.5. So let's put out a pair of tickets now at 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Caller number 5, pair of tickets to Austin FC visiting your Houston Dynamo.
soccer matters.
Yes, she was. Rest in peace, Tina Turner. Fantastic performer, singer. And it was sad to hear she passed away. Reinvented herself in the 80s after being with the Ike and Tina Turner Review. Go back and listen to Proud Mary sometime. A song that was written by John Fogerty of Creedence Clearwater Revival. All right, we got a lot going on here. So let me just say this. We had a ton of callers for those Dynamo Austin tickets, which was good to see. And we're going to give another pair away here tonight. I do want to just remind people, big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. They are the presenting sponsors of this show. John and his firm, their personal injury attorneys, are committed to working for you 24/7 nights and weekends. If not for John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, they're getting us on the air, so think about that. Always good to support the sponsors that support the programming that you like. So if you get in a car, boat, motorcycle accident, maritime accident, it's a nervous time. Few things are worse than injury. That's when you call a Daspit Law Firm. 713-CALL-NOW, 713-CALL-NOW, bilingual, DaspitLaw.com. Soccer matters, the great game of football. We're on the airwaves. Thank you to the Daspit Law Firm. Also a big thank you to everybody out at Lone Star Sports and Entertainment. They're bringing in Real Madrid and Manchester United, the Champions Tour, here to Houston. Energy Stadium. Real Madrid, Manchester United arrive here, Champions Tour. It is the Copa de Lone Star at Energy. The content in the teams and the history that have come through in recent times is pretty unbelievable here. LSSE.net or Ticketmaster. That's where you get your tickets. I would suggest you get them now, and I'll tell you why. There are people planning vacations from all over the world, and their vacations coming to the United States will include going to support the team that they love, either Manchester United or Real Madrid. So LSSE.net and Ticketmaster, we had David Fletcher on last week. Now, speaking of winning tickets, we've been doing a lot of social media stuff, so I'm going to bring on my social media ace and a great friend of mine, Guillermo Lazo Romero. So Guillermo's got an announcement here for a couple of the winners that have picked up tickets on social media and by calling in tonight.
All right, so for those of you who don't know already and don't follow our Soccer Matters GD Instagram and Twitter, we have been doing weekly giveaways for all of the home game Houston Dynamo games here in Houston. And super easy to enter, super easy to participate, so make sure to follow us on Soccer Matters GD Twitter and Instagram. But for this week's winners, congratulations to Rodolfo Abad for winning the Twitter giveaway and for Gustavo Diaz for winning the Instagram giveaway. Thank you for participating and continue listening to the show.
All right, that's the man there. That's the ace behind it. With guys like him and Andrew Carlson, trust me, this show doesn't get on the air. These guys have brought such great youthful energy to this program, and I really appreciate it. Okay, I want to get you into right now what is our World Cup 2026 moment. It's a history, but we're doing this because we will have the World Cup 2026 here. So here's our World Cup history moment brought to you right now by Soccer Matters. It was called the save of the century. Now let's, for a second consecutive show, go back to Mexico, the 70 World Cup. It's the group stages. It's the three Lions of England taking on the eventual winners, Brazil, with Pelé, Carlos Alberto, and company. All right. England goalkeeper, Gordon Banks, would come up with a save on Pelé that to this day is indelibly etched in World Cup lore. You hear about this as one of the great moments in World Cup history. Pelé would leap up in the air, snap, and pound a header downward. Now, by the way, Pelé was tremendous in the air, by the way. As much as you think about Brazilians with the ball at their feet, this was another one of the characteristics of Pelé that made him so special. He would leap up, pound a header downward. It was destined to go in, if not for, it was almost like a magical, phantom-like save by Gordon Banks that would really kind of defy logic if you go back and see it. And you can certainly Google it. So Gordon Banks made what was called the save of the century. By the way, Banks lost an eye in a car accident in 72. Shortly thereafter, he would come to the United States and with one eye play for the Fort Lauderdale Strikers of the NASL after a career at Leicester and Stoke City in England. He represented England 73 times, and Gordon Banks would be associated throughout his life with the save of the century. That's our World Cup history moment, brought to you by Soccer Matters. And don't forget, right in our backyard, 2026. Can you imagine us waking up and going to a World Cup game that's history in your own town? All right, Premier League Sunday. Now, this is big. And by the way, you got a call tonight, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776, the number to call in here tonight. I would love to hear from a Manchester United fan who's probably in great relief right now that they've got the Champions League money. But the Premier League finishes Sunday. The relegation battle now will become the focus. And who will go down with Southampton? It's three teams possibly that can go down. Everton, Leicester City, and Leeds. They're all in the thick of it. Leeds has got some American players like Tyler Adams, Aronson. Southampton already down, sadly, for their fan base after 11 years in the Premier League. I mean, think about how that hurts the city of Southampton and people who live and breathe and their mood is determined by their team. Back to the whole spectator or fan issue. 713-780-3776. So the final matches Sunday at 10:30 Central Time. Everton, Bournemouth, a win at home, and Everton stay up. That'll settle it. Leeds will be at Spurs. Leicester City, West Ham United. Leicester City has to win and, again, hope for Everton, much like Leeds. Manchester United, Fulham. Arsenal, Wolves. Brentford, Man City. Chelsea, Newcastle. Southampton, Liverpool. Liverpool's in the Europa League. Aston Villa, Brighton. Brighton, what a year for them. Crystal Palace and Nottingham Forest. So there is your final day of the Champions League. Now, coming up tonight after this, 9 o'clock, you can catch what is going to be an amazing two-legged final. The first one starting off in Monterrey with Tigres hosting Chivas. Let me take you back to the Tigres-Monterrey game. I mean, what a rivalry, what a soccer city in this hemisphere is Monterrey, Mexico. Tigres would advance at 2-1 on aggregate. Here is the goal from a man who scored in every single playoff game in this tournament for Tigres right now, Sebastian Cordova.
Cuidado acá. Acá viene el equipo ahora con Quiñones. Quiñones saca el centro. Buen centro. Buen centro. Gol. Buen centro. Gol. Y acá no hay nada. Acá no hay nada. Y es Córdoba otra vez. Córdoba. Qué lindo centro de Quiñones y un gran cabezazo de Sebastián. 1-0 arriba, Tigres.
So there you go. Sold out crowd. I think they call that the Clásico Tapatía, if I'm correct. Chivas Guadalajara, 3-1 over Club America. Chivas advances to the final 3-2 on aggregate. This team is coached by the former Chicago Fire coach, Veljko Panovic. I believe it was Serbia. He led to the under-20 World Cup win, but he was hired by Fernando Hierro, the famous Spaniard, and he has got Chivas into the final. Now, they're calling this kind of the reemergence of Chivas. They haven't won a title since 2017, when Matias Almeida was the head coach. And you remember Almeida came to MLS with San Jose and had a tough time implementing his system into the league here. He's now coaching in Greece, Almeida. But here is Chivas advancing 3-1 over Club America.
Monson en acompañamiento. Trazo para el Nene, peligroso. Se amarran cabezazo. De Chivas, Chiquete, Chiquete, Chiquete. Y Chivas, Chivas con esto está en la final, el gol.
That was El Perro Bermudez, the famous commentator in Mexico. By the way, Mexico, the team Chivas, for those that are general sports fans and might be listening here tonight, they only use Mexican nationals on their team. Now, can you imagine us doing that in the United States? Somebody saying, we're only going to use this type of person or this, you know, think of what that would be done politically. It would be so politicized. That has been the history of Chivas of Guadalajara. They only use Mexican national players. Now, there was an attempt to do that once in the U.S. back when we were trying to develop the national team in the North American Soccer League. And one of my former teammates, they called it Team America, and they competed in the league, in the North American Soccer League out of Washington, D.C. They had red and white stripes. Dan Canner, who I grew up with, rest in peace, was on that team. But there were a couple of English guys that were kind of nationalized that were on it. So, it's a different take. All right, so we got Tigres and Monterrey. That's going to be very, very interesting. A little bit later on, Victor Ariza will join the show, and we'll discuss that matchup. And the nice thing about it is it comes after tonight here, so 9 o'clock. Be ready for what is going to be a lot of fun. All right, I told you about Coco Carrasquilla. No, I didn't. I told you about something that I said would be the best marketing tool that the Houston Dynamo or Houston Dash could have. And this is an example of it. And it's not social media. It's not a billboard. It's not television ads, although those things are all effective and needed. It is when you talk about players getting out in your community. Now, I'm not going to tell you who sent this in, but this was sent to me, and a lot of this happens. I get a lot of stuff sent to me that some of it I don't ever want to bring on the air. Some of the stuff I get from the youth community is, I mean, honestly, for lack of a better word, it's just, I find it, what's the word I'm looking for here? Will I use it or won't I? I would call it, I'm going to stop myself. But it's maybe unethical, is maybe the word. So Coco Carrasquilla, his son is on a team. And they had a, like with all little youth teams, these are eight-year-olds. The fathers will play against the kids. And there's a lot of benefits there. You do that because, number one, you want the fathers to understand this isn't an easy game to play, right? And number two, the kids love it going up against the fathers. So it's fathers against sons. Well, the guy who wrote this story and said, and I'm just going to start reading this. He said it was fun. Coco Carrasquilla played with the fathers, okay? Now, I may be getting him in trouble with the Dynamo. I don't know. I hope not, because we don't want him pulling a muscle out there. But he said Coco Carrasquilla was having an absolute blast, taking dives in the box, doing tricks and flicks. And he said, while most dads relish the idea of being on a field with an MLS player, he's speaking for his experience. He goes, I have come to understand a new appreciation. But then he went into something really amazing here. This is a personal connection. There's nothing better than this. He goes, Coco is a good dad. That's simple. He comes to practice when he's in town with his son to this little youth practice. He interacts with everybody on the team, even the siblings off the field, participates in the team events, goes to the games. He never wears any Dynamo gear and apparel. He never tries to shine the light on himself. So Coco Carrasquilla is going out there. And listen, everybody knows him. He doesn't need a Dynamo jersey. But he's going out there, and he is going out there and making a connection with those people that will bring them to games. And he's not shining a light on himself. He's just doing it in a very humble way, participating as a father. This is what I'm taking out of this. And he said, there's a language barrier. The guy went on to say, there's a language barrier between him and I. It doesn't affect me because I have no illusions on trying to be on more than just a handshake relationship with him. So you're getting respect the other way from this father. This father of one of the kids on the teams is not encroaching on Coco. He knows who he is. He knows he's a phenomenal soccer player, but he's also giving him the space to be a father. This is pretty incredible. I absolutely love this. So he says, this man, whoever this guy is, really, this is a guy that has common sense and really gets it. And we need more people like this man. But he says, we do have a mutual appreciation for what we are trying to do for the kids. And he says, I thought I'd share this to show a side of players that hardly gets covered. That is a great story. That is a phenomenal story. And I appreciate that being sent into me. That is the best marketing you can ever do. And that's pretty cool stuff. All right, these guys are in town tonight. Bush, where are they? Bayou Theater?
I didn't know they were in town. So are the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah, I would take Bush over the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I would go to either, but
I like the drummer, Chad Smith. He was in Cactus, by the way. He's in town. He went to Cactus. Cactus Music, one of our great sponsors of Burning Topics. See that beautiful blue T-shirt? That was a. If you look on my Instagram or Twitter at Glenn Davis Sock at Soccer Matters GD, you'll see the Burning Topics from Cactus. The blue T-shirt I have is so hip. They have it in yellow too, but you have to go down there and get it. I think it's only like $16, but if you go into Cactus, you can get it. I picked up a couple of them. I absolutely love it. All right, we'll come back. We can continue Dynamo Austin FC talk. We can take your phone calls at 713-780-3776. There's transfer talk, silliness. Got a little story about Ruud van Nistelrooy. You'll remember him. Lot to go. We got the Houston Dash in action tomorrow night. They are on their way to Kansas City. They need a good win. That game will be on AT&T Sportsnet, by the way, so you can join Katie Goodman and I for the call of that. AT&T Sportsnet tomorrow night. It is the Houston Dash at Kansas City Current. Remember, Kansas City, the team that knocked out the Dash in their first ever playoffs last year. All right, Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. 713-CALL-NOW, 713-CALL-NOW, the best in personal injury attorneys. Caller number three right now. We'll get you a pair of tickets. Houston Dynamo, Austin FC at 713-780-3776. Caller number three right now. If you want to go to the Dynamo Austin FC rivalry match this weekend at Shell Energy Stadium.
ESPN
Some say the greatest rock song ever, Jumpin' Jack Flash. By the way, Mick Jagger, Tina Turner and Ike Turner in the, I think it was the Ike and Tina review, were on tour in the early days with the Rolling Stones, and he put out a really heartfelt, he seemed pretty shaken up about Tina Turner, who had an amazing life. If you Google her, you will find out.
I mean, she was in one of the Mad Max movies.
She was in, I think Beyond the Thunderdome.
Yeah, Beyond the Thunderdome. I think it was the third one.
But not only reinvented herself in the 80s, she put up with, you know, Ike Turner, I mean, beat her.
Right.
Terrible. Overdid all this, ended up marrying, I think, a guy from Switzerland and lived a large portion of her life, I think since 94, in Switzerland. But what an unbelievable entertainer. What a strong woman. Talk about a woman to look up to. Wow. Anyway, and you would see on tour a lot in recent, you know, during the 90s and stuff, she'd come on stage and do duets with Jagger. Excellent. All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Hey, by the way, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in tonight. If you got a take on the Dynamo Austin FC, do you think the goals are going to carry over from Wednesday night? Certainly Ben Olsen's hoping that. We're all hoping that. You see the ball hit the back of the net a couple of times. Maybe that's the way to platform to the next level when it comes to scoring goals. But these two teams in MLS play are not scoring goals. Austin FC, and they've had a struggle at their position. I'm expecting them to start the former Dynamo Maxi Arruti. They've got an issue with Leo Väisänen, who went off injured. Don't know if he'll play. I would expect Brad Stuver. I would expect Radanovic, one of the new signings. Cascante, Ring at the back. Do they play with three center backs against the narrow Dynamo? Their wide men, Gallagher, Lundqvist, or potentially Lima. You got to think Lima's going to get minutes because he didn't play much on Wednesday. Danny Pereira is the holding midfielder. You got to break him up because he sets a lot of the play. Got to get pressure on him, I think. Johan Valencia, who else plays in midfield? Owen Wolf was away with the under-20 national team. Does Fagundes finally get a start? There's been some issues with him and Ethan Finley. So there are some guys that are fresh, but I think the Dynamo going into this have to be the favorites. I think you have to position them as the favorites. They got through Tuesday night on an additional day's rest, comfortably against Minnesota. They got to play a man up in that game. They got Eric Svechenko, the new signing from Celtic and Micheland. They got him some minutes. They had a lot of the guys from Dynamo 2 playing, Talon Maples, Mujib Mourania. From a standpoint of being fresh and going into this game in a better place, it's clearly the Houston Dynamo. Clearly. So they got to go into this game the favorites, despite the fact they haven't scored a lot of goals in Major League Soccer. Now, when I was watching the Manchester United game today, there was a moment where somebody made a run as a defense was pushing out, timing their run behind it, and then a ball being flighted in. We just do not see enough of that. Timed runs behind opponents' defenses as they are pushing out. So you're catching their momentum going forward. And the thing is, if it's a well-timed run and the ball meets a well-delivered ball, talking about Aceh, he's the man who can do it, a well-delivered ball meeting and intersecting with the timing of a run, with the defense pushing out towards the ball, which now, if it's timed perfectly, they have to completely turn and face and run towards their own goal. Just does not happen enough with the Houston Dynamo. And it needs to happen. And I think the Dynamo are hoping to get some more of this from Ibrahim Aliyu, the new Nigerian signing. There you go. There's a new thing. Whenever the Dynamo sign a new player,
it's a Dynamo Signamo.
It's a Signamo. There you go. I finally invented something.
I think right. You created a new hashtag for Guillermo.
There you go. Signamo. This is the type of play we need to see. Now, it is a narrow Austin FC is going to be confronted with a narrow Houston Dynamo. And they're going to try to play the game out wide as much as possible and try to spread the Dynamo out a bit. But I'll tell you, they did not look good last night in that 2-0 loss to Chicago. And they just let Shaqiri sit out wide and continue to thread passes forward. And he got one of the assists, the highest paid man in Major League Soccer, Shaqiri of Chicago. So the MLS schedule this weekend, Montreal, Inter Miami, New England, Chicago, New York City, FC Philly, Toronto, FC, DC United, Minnesota, RSL, St. Louis, Vancouver, Colorado, FC, Cincy, Galaxy, Charlotte, San Jose, FC, Dallas, and then Seattle against New York. And by the way, Birmingham, I think, of the USL knocked off Charlotte last night, and Pittsburgh knocked off Columbus. So you had two USL teams in the magic of the Open Cup. Get it done. All right, some other news here. Here's an interesting one. This is kind of funny. It's his Inter Miami manager, Phil Neville. Now, he's going to get in a confrontation with a reporter here, but there is a little bit of a comedic value to this. We're not trying to show anybody up. This is just fun. It's on the record. Here's Inter Miami manager, Phil Neville.
We won five. Can I finish speaking? Are you going to interrupt? Can I finish speaking? Okay, because I don't interrupt your question. Okay, so don't interrupt mine. Show some respect. So, sorry for the language. Sorry, what was the question? Ask me the question again, please, Franco.
All right, that's pretty good. We do need to save that in our bank. It's pretty funny. And listen, it's not easy. These guys are under pressure. There's no doubt about it. But then again, it is easy. It's Major League Soccer. There's nobody really. I mean, we want more people asking more questions. We don't want people to be rude, like whoever that journalist was, cutting the coach off when he was trying to talk. But there are times where you have to be measured and maybe break in because you don't want to get filibustered either. And you want people to answer the question. And, you know, we see nowadays, whether it's in all aspects of life now, people don't answer questions. They just think they can walk away. You're not going to develop a fan base without answering questions in any market in Major League Soccer. So that was interesting. That was interesting. It was kind of fun. I don't think anybody should be upset about that. But the biggest thing is never lose the respect factor. Never lose. And listen, I've cut in on people on this show. I've had to because in the past, people were filibustering me. And they were not answering my question. And I found that disrespectful. And I'm talking about people in the past that I've had on this show that were not answering the question and were not being in integrity with me when I asked the question. So there you go. All right. Simple. By the way, Ruud van Nistelrooy, I told you I'd say something about him. He left PSV in Eindhoven. So he won the Dutch Cup. He won the Dutch Super Cup. But they got one more game against Alkmaar. And he's left before this final game, apparently, citing a lack of support. Now, what's significant here is they got to win this last game. So I don't know what's calculated about this, but Alkmaar has to win. PSV Eindhoven has to win this game against Alkmaar to get the Champions League money. This is huge money at stake, and I'm sure there's more to this story. But man, to leave before the final game of the year, which is the money game, PSV Eindhoven, Ruud van Nistelrooy, there's something going on there. Now, maybe it's a power play. Maybe he'll be behind the bench and back. Who knows? All right. Who said I never play Bad Bunny on this show? I make the music choices, by the way, for the most part.
Proving a point by playing Bad Bunny?
Well, he is popular. There are a lot of people who
like
him.
The most streamed person on Spotify, I believe.
They like him. I like it. There's a nice vibe to it. I'd prefer it if I was on a beach in Puerto Rico, where he's from, with some rum punch or, you know, cold beer. Yeah, I'd like Bad Bunny a lot more, I think. But I know there's a lot of people who like him. I know there's people that listen to this show that like him. So Bad Bunny's cool. All right. Soccer Matters, presented by John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, ESPN 97.5. We've got Victor Ariza coming up from the Striker on the Liga MX Finals. Eric Goodman, Austin Chronicle, Verde Report. We're going to do a heavy breakdown on Dynamo Austin FC. And we got Dynamo Striker Thor Olfarsson here tonight. We will take a break. We thank you for tuning in here tonight. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm.